50 Years in the Church of Rome by Charles Chiniquy, a former priest of the Roman Catholic Church. Chapter 1. My father, Charles Chiniquy, born in Quebec, had studied there for the priesthood. But a few days before making his vows, he witnessed a great iniquity in the high quarters of the church. He changed his mind, studied law, and married Renee Perrault. In 1803, he settled in Kamaraska, where I was born on the 30th July, 1809. 4 or 5 years later, we immigrated to Murray Bay, which had no school. My mother became my first teacher. Before leaving the seminary, my father had received from one of the superiors, as a token of his esteem, a beautiful French and Latin Bible. That Bible was the first book, after the ABC, in which I was taught to read. My mother selected interesting chapters, which I read every day till I knew many of them by heart. How many delicious hours I have spent by my mother's side, reading to her from the sublime pages of that divine book. Sometimes she interrupted me to see if I understood what I read. When my answers made her sure that I understood, she used to kiss me and press me on her bosom as an expression of her joy. We were some distance from the church, and on rainy days the roads were very bad. On the Sabbath days, the neighboring farmers were accustomed to gather at our house in the evening. Then my parents used to put me up on a large table in the midst of the assembly, and I delivered to those good people the most beautiful parts of the Old and New Testaments. When I tired, my mother, who had a fine voice, sang some of the beautiful French hymns with which her memory was filled. When the weather allowed us to go to church, the farmers would take me into their buggies at the door of the temple and request of some chapter of the gospel. With perfect attention, they listened to the voice of the child whom the good master had chosen to give them the bread which comes from heaven. More than once I remember, when the bell called us to the church, they regretted that they could not hear more. One beautiful day in 1818, my father was writing in his office, my mother was working with her needle, and I was at the door playing. Suddenly I saw a priest coming near the gate, and felt a chill of uneasiness. It was his first visit to our home. The priest was of short stature, with an unpleasant appearance. His shoulders were large, and he was very corpulent. His hair was long and uncombed, and his double chin seemed to groan under the weight of his flabby cheeks. I hastily ran and whispered to my parents, "Mr. Curate is coming." The sound was hardly out of my lips when the Reverend Courtois was at the door. My father shook hands with him in welcome. The priest was born in France, where he had a narrow escape, having been condemned to death under the bloody administration of Robespierre. He had taken refuge with many other French priests in England, then came to Quebec. Here, the bishop had given him charge of the parish at Murray Bay. His conversation was animated and interesting for the first quarter of an hour. It was a real pleasure to hear him. But all of a sudden, his countenance changed, as if a dark cloud had come over his mind, and he stopped talking. My parents had been respectfully reserved as they listened. The silence which followed was exceedingly unpleasant for all the parties, like the heavy hour before a storm. At length the priest, addressing my father, said, "Mr. Chiniki, is it true that you and your child read the Bible?"
"Yes, sir," was the quick reply.
"My little boy and I read the Bible. And what is still better, he has learned by heart a great number of its most interesting chapters. If you will allow it, Mr. Curate, he will give you some of them."
"I did not come for that purpose," abruptly replied the priest.
"But do you not know that you are forbidden by the councils of Trent to read the Bible in French?"
"It makes very little difference to me whether I read the Bible in French, Greek, or Latin," answered my father, "for I understand these languages equally well."
"But are you ignorant of the fact that you cannot allow your child to read the Bible?" replied the priest.
"My wife directs her own child in the reading of the Bible, and I cannot see that we commit any sin."
"Mr. Chiniki," rejoined the priest, "you have gone through a whole course of theology. You know the duties of a curate. You know it is my painful duty to come here, get the Bible from you, and burn it." My grandfather was a fearless Spanish sailor. Our original name was Echiquinquilla, and there was too much Spanish blood and pride in my father to hear such a sentence with patience in his own house. Quick as lightning, he was on his feet. I pressed myself tremblingly near my mother, who trembled also. At first I feared lest some unfortunate and violent scene should occur, for my father's anger in that moment was really terrible. But I feared more lest the priest should lay his hands on my dear Bible, which was just before him on the table. It was mine, given me the last year as a Christmas gift. Fortunately, my father had subdued himself, but was pacing the room with his lips pale and trembling, and he was muttering between his teeth. The priest was closely watching my father, his hand convulsively pressing his heavy cane, and his face evidencing a too well-grounded terror. It was clear that the ambassador of Rome did not find himself infallibly sure of his position. Since his last words, he had remained as silent as a tomb. At last my father suddenly stopped before the priest. "Sir, is that all you have to say here?"
"Yes, sir," said the trembling priest.
"Well, sir," added my father, "you know the door by which you entered my house. Please take the same door and go away quickly." The priest went out immediately. I felt inexpressible joy that my Bible was safe. I ran to my father's neck, kissed and thanked him for his victory, and to pay him in my childish way, I jumped upon the large table and recited, in my best style, the fight between David and Goliath. Of course, in my mind, my father was David, and the priest of Rome was the giant whom the little stone from the brook had stricken down. "Thou knowest, O God, that to that Bible, read on my mother's knees, I owe, by thy infinite mercy, the knowledge of the truth today. That Bible had sent to my young heart and intelligence rays of light which all the sophisms and dark errors of Rome could never completely extinguish."